Their sound has gone into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world. Welcome, friends. This is Father David Gortner from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and this is Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. This is the third week after the Epiphany of our Lord. God's blessings and welcome to St. Luke's. Today, this last week, we continued in following Jesus in his early life and ministry. And this last Sunday in the Gospel of Luke, we heard Jesus declare his purpose and paint the picture of all that he will do and teach. So this week, we have heard Jesus' declaration. This is Jesus' declaration. Jesus has stood up and said what he is called and compelled to be for the world. Jesus has said, "This is the call of God. This is what we've been waiting for. And this is what I'm here for. I'm here to fulfill God's vision and purpose. This vision is now going to start being fulfilled and is already fulfilled by your hearing it." Friends, what is your declaration? What is your declaration? God invites each of us. God makes a declaration to each of us in our births and in our baptisms, saying, "You are my beloved child. I delight in you." And God invites us in time to make our own declaration. "This is what I'm here for. This is what I'm about. This is what is most important to me and for me to do and be." Your declaration is never just your own invention out of thin air or out of just your own whims and ambitions and desires. Your declaration of purpose and calling in life wells up from everything and everyone that has shaped you over a lifetime. It wells up from your being named, claimed, known, and embraced by the God who knows you more deeply than you know yourself, who helps you see who you are. It arises from all the people and places that have shaped you. Jesus' sense of calling and profound sense of purpose didn't come from nowhere. We began this season following the Epiphany with Jesus as an adult, stepping into the waters of baptism. We begin with God's declaration to him, a declaration of unbelievably close and tender love. We begin with Jesus being claimed and embraced. "You are my child, my beloved. I adore you." Jesus was immersed not just in water, but in the fiery, warm embrace of God that enfolded and engulfed him. We came next, this last Sunday a week ago, to Jesus with his mother at a wedding celebration, a festival celebrating the committed love and adoration of two people to one another and the joy of lives joined together. And Jesus's experience of being claimed and embraced so fully is mirrored in this joining of two lovers in the bonds of marriage. Although he's not ready yet to begin his ministry and to make his declaration, he follows his mother's lead and lets the generosity of his love flow out into the celebration, extending their joy with new and excellent wine from the huge jugs of purifying water. As Deacon Glenda reminded us in her sermon, it's gallons and gallons, cases upon cases of fine wine. This is just a sign of how the power of God's love will flow through him into the world. And then there's the part we skip over in our readings until we come to the season of Lent, but it is the next thing that happens, or one of the next things that happen after Jesus is baptized. Jesus goes into the wilderness, into some solitary time of wrestling and seeking clarity. Jesus knows he's been claimed and called, but to what? And how? Jesus already has a sense of what he is called to be and do. From his mother's words of her own declaration that we sing out and call the Magnificat, to lift up the lowly and cast down the mighty, to scatter the proud in their conceit, to feed the hungry with good things. We know he's heard this over his childhood and his adulthood in his family. And we know he's been in deep, soulful conversation with God, his Father, through all his years of growing up and stepping into adulthood. But he seeks further clarity. And part of seeking further clarity is naming and setting aside distractions, recognizing and refusing alluring temptations. Jesus returns from wilderness and sets out from wedding feast with a clear vision of what he is called to be and do for the world. And he begins to speak it. He names what he's taken into his heart and mind and gut as his purpose. They're old words from long before he was born. And they have become his words. This is Jesus' declaration. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It is clear. Jesus names the things he will do. Bring good news, declare release, set free, give sight, name God's acceptance and delight. And Jesus names the people who will be the focus of his calling, the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. He is for those who have no one for them, who are bound or restrained or cast to the side. And remember, it is possible to be poor, captive, or blind in ways that are not physical or directly visible. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Get ready, Jesus is saying. It has begun now, and you are part of it beginning. What incredible boldness! It's almost brash, like that old baseball moment when Babe Ruth points to the stands where he's going to hit his home run. And then everything we see in Jesus' life and ministry is fulfillment of these words in all he did and taught. What is your declaration, each one of us, at whatever point we are at now in our lives? And callings and purposes change over the course of our lives. What now is your declaration? Well, how about us together? What is our declaration? This church, this faith community of St. Luke's. Over this last year, our vestry, our parish or church council, has been making space for God to speak. We've taken time to reflect with each other on why we follow Jesus, each one of us, why we are part of a church community, and why we're a part of St. Luke's. We spent then a rich time of retreat with each other back in early October, letting ourselves think, pray, and discuss together our responses to several questions. Now, here are those questions. I invite you to think about these questions yourself as you consider your own life, faith, and ministry and witness, and that of our life, faith, witness, and ministry together as a body at St. Luke's. Who have we been at our best as a church community? When was that we were at our best, and who helped make it happen? And what was the result? Where do we find ourselves now? What world do we find ourselves in now, here in Kootenai County and North Idaho at this time? What are we hearing around us as false or mutated presentations of the gospel? How does St. Luke's understand and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ differently? What makes us distinct as followers of Jesus? And in light of those questions, who have we been at our best? Where do we find ourselves now? What are we hearing that is false around us, and how do we understand the gospel differently? What might God be calling us to now in this world around us? What is St. Luke's capable then of doing next? What will we be like at our best addressing the world around us? What will we be like then at our best addressing the world around us? Our vestry sat with these questions, shared our thoughts with each other, and at each stage went deeper and deeper in prayerful deliberation. We collected our thoughts at that retreat, and then over the next months let ourselves distill and clarify and sit with and come to a way of expressing what we were learning about our calling and purpose for now and in the coming years here in North Idaho. We were able to make a declaration for St. Luke's in a vision statement and mission statement. So here is our vision: to share, celebrate, and embody Jesus Christ's overflowing, unconditional love in North Idaho. Once again, to share, celebrate, and embody Jesus Christ's overflowing, unconditional love in North Idaho. Here's our mission: to cultivate life-giving relationships in Christ with all through deliberate discipleship, courageous conversations, purposeful partnerships, and authentic action across North Idaho. Again, to cultivate life-giving relationships in Christ with all through deliberate discipleship, courageous conversation, purposeful partnerships, and authentic action across North Idaho. So, hear these again, read these again, let them sink in. We are all together a church who will share, celebrate, and embody the unconditional love of Jesus. We will do this by fostering life-giving relationships with each other and with all people we meet. And the way to foster these kinds of relationships is by inviting each other into purposeful following of Jesus, entering and inviting bold and caring conversations, seeking partnerships that make a difference in people's lives, and acting with integrity and clear purpose in our communities. You'll find this printed in our annual report that comes out this week. You'll find us talking about this. You'll find us as a community thinking about our vision and mission, letting it guide all we learn and practice and plan and put into action. This is our declaration. It is going to be fulfilled. Beloved, each one of you, what is your declaration?